Oh, yes. We are the 99%, and it is that time once again, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday morning, and it is time to get it going. It is time for Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of the Saturday Morning Extravaganza. Of course, I'm the scorekeeper, and live with me, all the way from the Inland Empire, is the greatest one of all. He is, and I am right-handed, he is my right hand, ladies and gentlemen. He is the indelible, the incredible, and dare I say, edible, Big Dog. How you doing, Big Dog?
I'm doing great. I'm having a little bit of deja vu, though.
Yes, it is a little bit of deja vu, is it not, Big Dog? I don't know why. Maybe in some alternate universe, we had technical issues, but we were able to get aboard our Klingon ship. By the way, thanks for setting this up for me. We were able to get on our Klingon bird of prey, slingshot around the sun, go back in time and alter everything and set everything right. How does that sound to you, Big Dog?
Sounds good.
All right. So just call me Kirk and you're Spock. No?
Indubitably.
Nah, you'd probably be more the engineer, but, you know, I already have the chief engineer that calls in, but, hey, that's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, of course, our first caller. I know who it is, and I know they haven't pressed one, but what the hell? I'm going to see if they want in right now, because if the Big Dog is edible, this man is a hearty meal himself.
I'm an all-you-can-eat buffet. Good morning, gentlemen. You know, it's quite funny. I'm on the road because I ran out of cream. I didn't necessarily know I was out of cream. The wife did not inform me that she used the last little bit of it. So I ran up to the store, and I brought my phone along, and it was about 15 after, and I was like, and then I called in, and there was no show. I was like, when I get home, I'm going to start to show up, though, in case something's going on or they're having problems. So I'm glad you were able to get on. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, well, if I can speak for the Big Dog for a moment, I think we're doing okay. And his joke of, deja vu, we were going for about 12, 13 minutes, and I called in. There was no sound. I went to the chat room. There was no sound. And the Big Dog and I were having a wonderful conversation. And I had a flashback to the very first episode we did. The Big Dog and I know in our hearts the very first episode we did on November 1st, 2008, was probably the greatest episode that the Big Dog and I ever did. Huh, Big Dog?
Yep. The episode that will never again be heard.
Yeah, it'll never be heard by anyone because our debut episode, Blog Talk Radio, sabotaged us. The sound quality was abhorrent. It was the stuff that world wars are started over.
That's quite funny that you say that because I think every first show on Blog Talk Radio is that way because I had technical difficulties on my first show as well. Couldn't hear, couldn't do it, got the worst virus on my computer I could possibly get. Almost decided that this wasn't worth it. And, boy, I'm glad I decided to keep up with it because I enjoy Blog Talk Radio and I enjoy what we're doing here. So they fixed up a lot of things since at least February of 2009 when I did my first episode. So, yeah, I understand. I think mine's all choppy and everything else. So, you know, hey, props
now,
there to Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it is, Blog Talk Radio. Now, speaking of all choppy and stuff, if the Big Dog is the edible one and the couch potato is the family meal, the buffet, well, then the gentleman that we're bringing aboard now, he is the Jenny Craig of NDB Media. Bring him on right now. I don't have a song for him yet. I'm going to have to come up with an awesome one. I don't have it, but he is live from somewhere out in Timbuktu. That's otherwise known as White Land in Middle America. How you doing, Terry?
We're not in Middle America anymore.
Oh, where are you?
We are in Salt Lake.
Oh, my God. Terry, does Carol know that there could be multiple wives there?
She doesn't even know we're in Salt Lake.
Oh, you are the bomb, dude.
She still thinks she's in Indiana.
What the hell happened?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but this is going to be a very short-lived conversation because you guys screwed up. I don't know what the heck went on. I called you at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, well, actually, there were issues with Blog Talk Radio. I mean, I only gave you that soliloquy just before you came on, but, yeah, we screwed up. Yeah, we'll take the blame for it. So why is she in Indiana and you're in Salt Lake?
Well, she isn't in Indiana. She just thinks she is.
Oh, okay.
At our age, you have no clue most of the time what's happening.
Fair enough. Well, I do apologize.
Just kidding, Roger.
Oh, no. I mean, you had me going. I'm like, did he really forget her? Did he just say, okay, we're leaving, Carol. Close the door of the motorhome, and boom, warp speed. And then,
no,
like,
the chief engineer is still here, but I want to know how the big dog is today.
I am doing just fine, Terry. Thank you for asking. I got your card that you and your wife sent me. Gave me a very nice chuckle, and that's why I sent off a text to Roger if he could either give me your number or send a text from me through him. But he was nice enough to give me your number, and that's why I sent you the text. So.
Well, we appreciate it, Peter, and I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm not going to have any time to talk this morning, so we'll have to wait till next week. I only have one thing to say, Roger.
Sir?
The Yankees don't have the best record anymore.
Well, my oh my, Terry. I'm so thrilled that you reminded me of such. Yes, I hadn't noticed. Thank you.
And the funny thing about it is the team with the best record is a team that I never thought would have it.
Oh, don't tell me the Washington Nationals have the best record now.
No, Cincinnati does.
What? Freaking what? Commies. The Reds? See,
well,
you know, Terry, here's the thing.
What?
You and I grew up in the Red Scare. These other two kids that are next to us, they don't know what I mean by that, but that's okay. Yeah, you see, again, he's the one that laughs. Thank you, Terry. That's more like
a
crazy chuckle.
We all like Dusty, and he's got his team on the move. They've won 65 games now, and Brenneman shaved his head, so everybody's happy, I guess.
Oh, no. Brennan, has he really shaved his head? That's pathetic.
He said that he would shave his head if they won 10 in a row, and they did.
Pendejo.
And I think they lost. I think they lost one game. Now they won 4 in a row. They shut out Pittsburgh last night 3-0.
Wow. Okay. That's a double hit because I said, didn't I say, Big Dog, that Pittsburgh was going to overtake the Reds?
Yep. Yes, you did.
Well, they still could, Roger. I mean, there's time. I think they're only 3 back of the Reds, so, there's still time.
So you're telling me the Reds now have the best record in baseball and the Pirates are only 3 back? Oh, my God.
I think they're 3 back. I think they're 3 back. I may be wrong. They may be 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, but still. You and I are having a conversation about the Pirates being 4 back from the best team in baseball?
Yeah, they've won 65 games, and I think the Yankees are at 62, maybe? 62? I think they're tied with probably the Nationals. Seems like there's another team in there, too.
Actually, it's the Texas Rangers that they're tied with. They're 62 and 43.
Okay.
The Yankees are actually the third best team in the majors. Washington is the second best team at 63-43. Cincinnati, of course, is the best record, and Pittsburgh is behind them by 4.5.
Oh, 4.5. Okay.
It's okay. 4.5. Whoever thought that we'd be having a conversation about the Pirates being 4 back? Wow.
Well, if the Pirates keep winning, they may end up a wild card.
Yeah, well, I know the Big Dog has a lot of stuff, Terry, but I know that the Dodgers picked up Joe Blanton, another pitcher from the Phillies. That one is done. And I don't know if you heard, but Cliff Lee was placed on the waiver wire, and apparently the Dodgers put in the claim for him. So no one put in a claim for Cliff Lee up until the Dodgers, and the Dodgers put in the claim. So a deal is possible that the Dodgers can get Cliff Lee, but here's the thing.
They put him on the waiver. The Dodgers put in the claim for him, and then they pulled him off the waiver wire. He is no longer available for a trade or anything.
As I was about to say, now if the Reds put him through the waiver wire again, the Dodgers are the ones that can claim him, and they won't owe the Phillies anything if they were to do that. But as we know, this is how they try to make deals. If they go through, the team's able to claim them, then they work out a deal. Right now, if they're stupid enough to put them through the waiver wire again, the Dodgers will, you know, don't have to give anything unless there is an agreement.
Yes, I read that on my iPhone yesterday about Cliff Lee, and they did pull him. But we'll have to just wait and see. I don't know. You think the Dodgers really need him?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they really need him or not, but if they were to get him, wow. I mean, we may be talking about the Dodgers beating up on everyone in the National League via pitching. Let me tell you.
Well, it seems to me that he's got a pretty healthy contract, though, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. He's very healthy. It's because the Phillies are stupid. You know, wow, they were good for 3 years, and now they're dumping everyone. Shane Victorino is now a Dodger, and wow, can't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched some of the game last night, and Victorino got his first base hit as a Dodger, and Henry Ramirez had a real good night. He started at shortstop, and I think he had a double, and he drove in a couple runs with a solid single. AJ Ellis had the big night. He had two home runs, and one was an opposite field home run, which he thought he was incapable of hitting. So they were kidding him about it. But they had a good night. But look who they played. They played the Cubs. My God. We talked about the Cubs last week, guys. Jeez. It's like playing a minor league team.
Yeah, that's true, Terry. They are a minor league team, and it is disappointing what is happening with all these teams. I cannot believe that the Dodgers almost pulled off the deal. Alfonso Soriano and Ryan Dempster, but it didn't come to pass. He, of course, went down to Texas, which really surprised me. I am stunned that the Yankees really did not pick up anyone, even though the big dog did send me a text message about some player for some other player, and I said, what? Who cares? Oh, by the way.
Roger, didn't they pick up a third baseman to take Rodriguez's place?
Oh, well, no, they already had Chavez, but maybe they did.
Oh, they had him.
Yeah, they already had him. But, Terry,
let
me do some revisionist history right here. When a big dog received your card, it was cool. He said, would you text Terry for me? No, you text him. I sent him your number.
Well, certainly. I was happy to hear from the big dog. He can text me anytime. I love to be texted.
Wow, there you go, big dog. But I just thought it was funny when he says, would you send him a message thanking me? No, you do it.
Oh, that's nice. That was nice of him to text me. And I'm so happy that you're feeling better. I have a friend that is in the hospital now, and they think he has a staph infection. And it's kind of sad for me. So I know I can just imagine how happy the big dog is that he's on his road back and he's going to hopefully recover and completely and live a pretty normal life. I know it's pretty tough. Pretty
big
tough
dog.
To get sick, guys. Not easy.
No, it's not. Hey, big dog, you're
not
very quiet over there.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, no, I'm just listening. I'm just listening to Terry's saying. And he is right. I am feeling a lot better, and it, you know, as I start feeling better, I'm not gonna lie, I've been depressed for a while. You know, it's kind of hard to take that kind of news. You know, when you're doing everything that you've been able to do, and then you can't do a damn thing afterwards. So the road recovery back, so everything's going good.
Well, we hope the big dog that you're going to be able to make one of those games with us, maybe the Angel game.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, well, I actually have it planned for him to show up to the Dodger game as well. I want to see Dodger security go wild when he walks to the machine, and I have a defibrillator, and they're like, all right, let's see it. You know, and I'm carrying it right here. No, you said defibrillator. So he's probably going to be frisked. They're probably going to take everything off, and they want to see what's on. And Big Dog's going to show off his curvy body.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, God,
listen,
it will
guys,
be beautiful.
Listen, I'm going to have to pack it in. I'm running a little late. And the chief engineer is giving me the evil eye. So we have to head down the road. So we'll talk next Saturday. And hopefully I'll have a little more time to spend with you guys.
Yeah, I know. We'll make sure to be back on time next time. But BTR killed us this morning.
Okay, guys. You have a good week.
All right, we will.
Say hello to the couch potato.
He, I think, was getting into his room, so that's why he's probably listening in right now. So
okay.
He'll be in a little bit.
Okay, you guys take care and have a good show. I'm sorry that technical problems occurred, but that's radio.
Hi, lad. That it is indeed. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys. You take care.
All right. We'll see you. Well, up there he is, of course, the Silver Fox himself, the traveling man, Terry's on. It's always a thrill to have him in. And here we go. We're being slammed in the chat room because we're bloody hell. We're late. Yeah, we're late as a J-Dog or Mern Dog or I don't know. He just right now sends me. What the hell's going on right now? What is wrong with my? Okay, here we go. My screen's coming back. You know, I was trying to use an analogy, Dog. What?
I know why we're late. I know why we were late.
Why?
Well, because Prince Charles, with those damn big ears of his that get all the satellite reception, he had his head turned the wrong way and screwed up Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Okay, fair enough. And even my tech stuff is all messed up on my screen. I hate this. I'm getting a little PO'd right now. It says, BTR has been a bit sluggish of late, says AJ. I mean, ooh, sorry, Ian. That's not gonna. That's
English
not gonna scare me anyway.
English, Australian, same thing, right?
No. Look, I'm stupid, but not that stupid. But I gotta tell you, Big Dog, that Dodger team is doing much better. They're looking very, very good. I gotta tell you, and I gotta say, I'm kind of happy myself. Starting to feel good today. It's great. Hey, Shy likes our link for Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Extravaganza, and that was the title, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we have issues, but we are live. So it worked.
Yes, it did. And yes, you're right. Lots of things happening. That trade deadline was a little bit busy, and then all of a sudden it hit the fan just a couple hours before the trade deadline, and there were trades galore.
Except for
and,
the
of course, the Yankees you picked up. I have it right here. I thought I had it right here. You picked up Mr. McGee, Casey McGee, from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
What's the deal?
The Yankees picked up third baseman Casey McGee. Actually, he's a third baseman / first baseman, which kind of took care of any problems that you had since, of course, Mark Teixeira was injured, although he's back now. And, of course, A-Roid is going to be out for a while, so you have a backup to your backup as far as third base, and you have a first base backup also in case Teixeira's wrist goes wrong again.
You know, I really feel bad. The Big Dog sends me a text message. It was kind of cool. He was really nice to me. He was giving me – oh, that's from Lisette. Hello, cousin. She called me cousin? Yeah, too bad we weren't in – oh, forget it. Anyway, let me see. Yankees Pirates, Casey McGee for Scott – Qualls.
Yes.
What was my text message to you? Because I don't have it.
Actually, you didn't send a text message.
Oh, I'm surprised. I didn't respond to you? Oh, I guess I didn't.
No.
Oh, that was on Tuesday. Well, you know what? I've been in a, well, I really thought I responded to you, but I guess I didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been messed up this week. It has not been a good week. I actually believe that I've been talking to people, and apparently I haven't. I've been dreaming, man. I mean, the drugs that I've had this week, all legal. It's been messed up. It has been messed up. But I do want to say that we have made a connection on in the evenings at 10 o'clock. My wife is now listening to Blog Talk Radio. And sure enough, she's not listening to any of us. She doesn't give a damn. But she is listening to Eduardo Quesada, the host on Channel 34 here for many, many years in Southern California. Even you know him, don't you, Big Dog? On Channel 34, he was the anchor for 30 years. Remember him?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I remember the back of the hand in my hand.
Yeah, what an ass. Okay, so anyway, he's now part of the QNN network, or Quesada News Network, and he's on at 10 o'clock every day, and we've been catching his programs. And, wow, he has a huge audience, and he's been giving us so much love every day. I love him. So it's great.
Cool.
I'm sorry. I've been trying to cultivate, but I have no green thumb. I don't. I don't have a green thumb.
I know. I remember.
So what the hell are you trying to say by that, Big Dog?
Oh, nothing. Just I remember you don't have a green thumb. Because I remember one time you tried to grow something and it didn't work.
I tried to grow something and I let you know?
I think so.
What the hell was I trying to grow, Big Dog?
I don't remember. It didn't work, though.
Remember that I was trying to grow something. There is a point to this story.
Yeah, that you don't have a green thumb.
Mm-hmm. All right, Big Dog. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-637-2306. And, of course, in the chat room, the indelible, the edible Laker fan himself, Sci-Fi Pulse. The servant of the crown, I'm sorry, the subject of the crown from the United Kingdom, and of course, Cuervo, always defending America's freedom, and Couch Potato. If the edible one is the big dog, well, then the couch potato is America's buffet plate. Isn't that what he said? Buffet line or something?
Yes, he is the buffet.
Yeah, that's funny. We obviously had some issues this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Blog Talk Radio really gave us a hard time. We're very disappointed by that, but hey, the all-you-can-eat buffet. He took that one well. I'm sorry, Couch Potato. And then when Terry calls in, he's Jenny Craig. Man, huh, Big Dog? He is so freaking thin, huh?
Yeah, see, I was more thinking that he might be the appetizer.
The appetizer. So what the hell does that make me? If Terry's the appetizer, you're the edible one, and the couch potato is the all-you-can-eat buffet. What the hell does that make me?
You're the dessert, because you're just so sweet.
Yeah. And we have several Skype callers. One of them wants in, so we're going to go to that one right now. The Skype caller from – well, they're all Skype callers, so who gives a damn? Caller, you're in. Who are you?
Is it me? How can you tell the difference?
I know it's kind of funny because I actually have several Skype callers right now. We want to thank everyone. Ian, tell us. Oh, Couch Potato says I'm the main plate, but we'll see. He also says he's on Skype, so okay, I think I've now narrowed it down. Ian, what the hell is going on in the United Kingdom? Michael Phelps started off slow, baby, and now he's really starting to warm it up.
Yeah, he has been, you know, so like the Americans have actually done pretty well in the swimming. They actually, you know, the 15-year-old girl, can't remember her name, but she beat Rebecca Adlington yesterday in the 800-meters final. And Adlington was sort of like, put it this way, the whole of the UK's hopes were on Adlington's shoulders. She swam really well. She swam really well, but this 15-year-old girl, she's sort of like... She kind of like dominated the race from the very beginning. She was actually swimming on world record pace to about the last 20 meters of the race, and it was just a fantastic race to watch. And you know, I think Adlington, you know, she did well to get the bronze. She just left herself with too much to do, unfortunately. But it was a good race. And we've got Jessica Ennis in the heptathlon. She led overnight. Looked a bit touch and go for a first day, but she led overnight, and she's done two events today already in the javelin and the long jump, and she had a very good javelin and very good long jump. She's just got the one event left at the end of the day, which is the 800 metres. It looks like she's going to win gold. She'd have to run extremely poorly not to win gold, and, you know, I think she's got it in the bag, to be honest. And for the tennis, Andy Murray and Laura Robson have gotten themselves through to the semi-finals of the mixed doubles, beating out Australia. And also in the tennis, we're going to have a repeat of the Wimbledon final with Andy Murray taking on Roger Federer in the Olympic final as well. So that's pretty much most of what I got. In the swimming, it seems to be the USA and that are dominating pretty much the medals there.
Ian, have you had a chance to watch? I'm not sure if it was them, but I think it was. Did you see the British female volleyball team?
I didn't know. I've not been able to catch any of the volleyball. You know, so much of it on.
There is so much on, and my wife's been watching it, thank God. That means I can watch it. Let me tell you, I couldn't exactly say this in front of my wife, but even though I've considered myself a breast man all my life, I've got to tell you, and this goes out to you too, Big Dog, there are a bunch of hotties playing volleyball. And those British women look pretty damn good to me.
I've actually seen the two British women that you're talking about, and to be honest, I don't fancy either one of them. So you know, in other news, we've actually been doing quite well in the schools. We've had three gold medals in the women's schools, and you know, quite a few medals as well as a gold in some of the men's schooling events. So. We're doing pretty good in those events, and as far as the sailing goes for regatta, you know, we've got Ben Ainsley, and it looks like it's going to be Ben Ainsley versus Denmark. That's been quite dramatic to watch.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and I believe the issue with the United Kingdom was, you guys started off slow. And now you guys are really picking it up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, yesterday, the medals tally, as it stood yesterday, was actually ahead of what we got in Beijing about 4 years ago. And Beijing was actually a really good year for British sport in the Olympics. It was like one of the best years we've had in a while. So
I'm not sure if anyone else caught it. But the United Kingdom in the first 4 to 5 days really just wasn't doing it. They were very close in the cycling. I thought that was an exciting run, but the young lady from the Netherlands, man, she's a monster. She, Voss, took it literally in the last few seconds. I know the United Kingdom did score a medal in that one, but they didn't get a gold. And the mayor, I don't know if you guys caught this, guys. Apparently the mayor said he was going to do something about... you know, finally, when they won a medal, and they did, Ian. Tell us what happened with that, with the mayor of London.
Oh, he rather stupidly got himself stuck in the middle of it, in the middle of the air. You know, he sort of like he was suspended from the sky for literally hours on end. He got stuck on a cable car or something. I wasn't really paying him much attention because the mayor of London is a complete dickhead anyway. So.
Well, I thought it was appropriate that he got caught in the middle. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have our first question today. Thank goodness that Ian is with us, the Big Dog as well. The Big Dog and I were having this conversation in the prior program, which no longer exists due to our technical issues. And the Big Dog asked me the question, and I'm going to send this to everyone in the chat room as well. Michael Phelps, is he the greatest swimmer of all time? Or no, I apologize. That was not the question by the Big Dog. Is he the greatest athlete of all time? So I want you guys to think about that real quick. Big Dog, did you want to continue with that conversation?
No, it was just a question that was put out there. Excuse me, sorry about that.
I'm going to agree with Couch Potato here, not close. Yeah, he's maybe the greatest swimmer of all time, with all the medals he's won, but he's not the greatest athlete of all time.
And oh, there it is. Yeah, he's continuing. Not even close. He's the best swimmer, but come on.
Who would you consider the best athlete of all time then?
And that's where this conversation was going to go, ladies and gentlemen, because the big dog and I was doing it, and he did use the line of Jesse Owens.
The main people everybody ought to bring up, of course, are Jesse Owens and Carl Lewis and what he did in New Orleans.
I'd actually have Danny Thompson for that case as probably the best decathlete of all time. And decathlon encompasses 10 events, remember? So, you know, he's got to be proficient at all 10 events. So, you know, I'd offer up Danny Thompson as a candidate. Out of Carl Lewis and Jesse Owens, I'd have to say Jesse Owens edges it for me.
Oh, wow. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The big dog suggested Jesse Owens. I don't know if you guys look, here we go. Cat Patel says he would say Lewis, also Bruce Jenner. Oh, yeah, he's got a bunch of hot little girls. They're adopted, though. And I don't know, Big Dog, who is your choice? Because Ian also threw in Thompson.
I think because of the social prevalence that went with it, I might have to say Jesse Owens. I mean, we talked about it earlier on the show that never is now or that never was. You know, the woulda, coulda, shoulda as far as, you know, had he competed in more Olympics. The fact that the world significance of him and what he did in his only appearance against Hitler pretty much in Germany, I think may magnifies what his athleticism did on the track and field. So I might give the nod to Jesse Owens.
Wow. Well,
the couch potatoes asked how about the best Olympian. But again, that's kind of a tough one because you'd have to do that on medals and the amount of times that they defended a gold medal. And you know,
yeah,
we've got a couple of really good Olympians that have done that in Ben Ainsley, if he defends today, that'll be his third gold medal on trot for the Sagan. You know, we had Steve Redgrave who won four or five gold medals over a period of something like four or five Olympics for the sculling. You'd have to have Michael Phelps in that list of the greatest ever Olympians as well.
Yeah, you know, the comment was made by someone very, I think, smartly this week was, wow, you know, he finally got the record, he has the most medals of all time. But then someone said, wait a minute, forget it, forget that. He's got 15 gold medals. And that's actually incorrect now because I think he added another gold medal to it. And
he's actually up to 17 now.
17 gold medals. So if he had 15, total 20. Oh, my goodness. So he's at 22 total. I mean, clearly blown it away. The all-time record was 18. Now it's 22. My math may be faulty. May have 21 or 22, but
yeah,
17 gold medals. I mean, individually, give me a break. Wow. He's done it over 3 years. I think he's the first one in swimming to have won the same event over three events. But, Ian, isn't there someone that just scored in archery or something like that? Like in five straight Olympiads?
I think there is, you know, but you know, to be honest, I've not been watching the archery because I'd rather watch paint dry.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and Ian moving into his new apartment had a lot of the paint drying too, so I'll grant him that. Poor Ian. So hey, if there's archery, he'll continue to watch the paint dry. That happened in the first few days of the Olympics. And I
yeah,
know there's something on there about that happening.
Thing,
yeah, Big Dog?
The thing with Phelps is he was the first swimmer to win three consecutive swimming events in three consecutive Olympiads is what the record was. No one had ever done that before. Now he's done it twice, which was,
you know,
which was his latest.
You know,
I'm sorry.
The big deal about it was also is that, you know, sort of like when Phelps first came on the scene, the big the big thing that he was trying to do was actually beat out David Wilkie's record of 7 gold medals in 1 Olympics. And Wilkie was a British swimmer back from the 70s. And, you know, he did that. I think Phelps actually went one better at the Olympics and won 8 gold medals.
That's correct. Beijing, 2008.
Yeah, and actually he beat also Mark Spitz's record, but I think Spitz had 7 gold over your swimmer, who had a total of 7 medals, whereas Spitz had the 7 gold in 72, and he broke that record. And, of course, has gone on to do even more. But what I think is more amazing is the fact that he's raced in 23 events where he could possibly get a medal. Out of 23 events, he's medaled in 21 of those 23 events, which, of course, has been 17? It's 17 gold, 2 bronze, and 2 silvers. To me, that's just incredible that, you know, 23 events that you can medal in, you medal in 21 of those 23 events. To me, that's pretty damn incredible.
Indeed.
Yeah, it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt about that. I'm glad that the conversation is going to go on for a while because this is something that we're going to really be getting into. The Olympics are far from over. There is still at least another week to go. It has been truly exciting. I've got to tell you that here in the United States, whereas NBC has probably dropped the ball numerous times, like the candidate Mitt Romney, I've got to tell you that the Spanish version of the Olympics has actually been doing incredibly well. They're covering almost all the events, and my wife is the happiest camper of all. Margarita loves it because her sport's on TV, so she's having a good time. Thank you, Olympics, and thank you, NBC, for doing it correctly in Spanish, you morons.
Well, I've actually been watching the final between Serena Williams and Sharapova on TV. And Serena's up 1 set to love, and she's up 3 games to 1 in the second set. So, you know, it looks like she could be cruising her way to gold.
Wow. So, yeah, well, please keep us up to date on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Matt Alvarez in the chat room. Of course, Couch Potato is out, but he's listening to us. I might be a punk and go to him again because I just love doing it. It's easy to punk Couch Potato. And I got to tell you, there's still a lot of sports ready to go. Ian, please keep us up to date. Big Dog, I know he's ready and willing and able because all the girls think he's edible. But right now, Big Dog, you are most attractive to the Borg females. Because they like you, because of all those extra things you have attached to you. Dude, you know, if someone were to slug you right now, they actually couldn't even touch you because of all the stuff you're wearing?
Mainly on my back. My chest is okay. My chest is still accessible to anybody who wants it.
No, thanks, dude.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Ian on that one. But thank you, Big Dog. With all your accoutrements, tell us what's going on in the world of sports, and let's keep this going. We're down to an hour, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, yeah, they're talking about the swimmer. She's only 15. Yeah, I know. Yep, it is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and by the way, Matt Alvarez is near his anniversary, ladies and gentlemen. And he's going to be doing a program here on Friday and Saturday, the day of his anniversary. So I don't know what time Matt Alvarez is going to be on, but his anniversary program will be August 18th. So we got to start getting news out there on it. We got to get it out there. Matt Alvarez has been on the air for a long, long time, and that's his anniversary. So we're going to have Matt, speaking of Big Dog, back to back Friday and Saturday, August 17th and August 18th. It's going to be some good stuff. So we'll see what we're going to be programming that day. Big Dog, what's going on?
Well, since we're on Olympics, well, I'll give just a quick overview on the medals. Of course, yesterday, with all the things that happened yesterday with the U.S., the U.S. did overtake China on the total medal count and the total gold count. The U.S. now has 45 total medals, 22 gold, 10 silver, and 13 bronze. China is in second place with 20 gold, 14 silver and 19 bronze for a total of 43. And as we talked about earlier with Ian, Great Britain has came out of nowhere. They took the longest time to finally get a medal, and when they did, they rolled with it. And they are now in third place with 10 gold, 7 silver, and 8 bronze for a total of 25.
Wow.
Great going for the host nation.
Yeah, none of those medals came out of the keyring events, the indoor cycling, where quite a few world records were actually broken as well. The British team that broke the world record in the semi-final, and they broke it again in the final.
Oh, I know. I have a question for everyone out there in the chat room and on the phones. What do you feel about that amputee, Oscar Petrus, Pistorius, who is going to be racing the 400 on those metal blades? Do you feel he should be racing, or does he not have an advantage, or really doesn't matter to you guys?
Ladies and gentlemen, the big dog broke up a little bit, but remember, there is an athlete that now has the prosthetics that allow him to compete. So the question is, should he actually compete? I'm going to ask for your help, ladies and gentlemen, to get the name of the athlete. Big Dog, I think you did give it to us, right?
Yes. Oscar Pistorius. Pistorius.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is the biggest question right now, because up until now, everything has been allegedly natural. And now the individual who is handy capable has the, I think they're aluminum, or I forget what the metal is or whatever, but it allows them to compete. And that is the question, right, Big Dog? Ian,
yes.
I want to, this is really going to be changing everything. What's the deal? Do you have an opinion on this? Is it something that this is going to be happening more often now? Because if an athlete now is able to have these, it's been alleged that these, you know, artificial legs give him an advantage, or her.
You know, I don't think they necessarily do give him an advantage, because, you know, we've only got one of them. Yeah, whereas, you know, the proper athlete, they've actually got two natural legs. He's just got one prosthetic leg.
No, they're both legs.
Oh, it's both legs?
Yes.
Well, you know, so, like, you know, the thing is, if he trains hard and whatnot, you know, so I don't think they're giving him any more of an advantage than he would have if he had natural legs, to be honest.
You know, there it is, carbon fiber blades. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole issue is, and we have Couch Potato live, and I think he knows he's live. I want to know if he wants to jump in on this one. They're the carbon fiber legs, but I know he has to keep quiet. So I'm going to give him a quick shot to jump on in right now, Couch Potato. You want in? Okay. It looks like he's not going to be able to come in. So I'm going to put him back on mute. If he does want in, just let me know. Everyone in the chat room, I know there are some comments in there. Tell us, what's the deal? Now, Tim says you can slap on a new album and watch the 110-mile-per-hour heat. And we'll have the robotic games and the other games. Yeah, Couch Potato. Oh, okay, he says he was on mute. I'm going to bring him back on then. Okay, he's on mute, but now does he want back in?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, there you are. What's up, Couch Potato?
Yeah, everybody's awake, so it's not a big deal. You know, it's a real interesting thing, and I don't know how many athletes have what he has, but maybe they should have, like, its own little category. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's not enough athletes that way. I don't know. And I was going to say be sly and say the Special Olympics, but it's not that kind of special. It's a different kind of special. Maybe there needs to be a different category for that type of player, and then that would open up the gates for other people such as him. But it's just really simple. I look at that. I see the spring off of that thing. I mean, you know, you don't get that kind of spring off a leg. I mean, you're talking the flexing of that thing. It makes him probably go a little bit further when he's running. And so I don't know if it's an advantage or not because, you know, God, he has to figure out how to run with that damn thing on. But, you know, when I look at it and I see how it goes and I see how it springs, you know, I can see how someone might think that there's an advantage to them. But at the same time, I don't think I really don't think that there is that much of an advantage in reality, more so than what perception of what that advantage would be.
Well, you know, it's not like he's running the 100 in under 10 seconds. It's not like he's on, like, cracking world records or anything like that. He's holding his own amongst his athletes, which is, you know, quite an achievement. And to be honest, they already do have a special category for it. It's, you know, it's called amputees, and the amputees actually have their own gates, you know, in terms of the Paralympics. You know, they have their own category within the Paralympics, you know, which is made up of people with cerebral palsy, amputees, people with spina bifida, all kinds of different disabilities.
So it would seem, ladies and gentlemen, that one of the questions here is, would it be something where now someone who would be eligible for the Paralympics, and thank you for correcting me on that, Ian, are they eligible to run over here? It's interesting that someone said about advantages and not advantages. He says, the guy has no legs. How can he have an advantage? I thought it was an interesting comment, and that came from a sprinter. That was rather interesting. And also, Ian has it right. He's not breaking any records. He's able to stay in and compete with them. So that's going to be one of the questions. I'm not sure, Big Dog. Where did you want to go with that?
Oh, I was just wondering everybody's opinion on that. I was reading the article about him. They're saying that his best numbers, which was a season best 45.44 seconds, is not fast enough to win a medal. But he, as you're saying, and as Ian was saying, you know, he holds his own. And I think he's just trying to make a statement that just because he is an amputee and has these special carbon fiber blades that he does not have an advantage, and he's trying to hold his own. But, you know, there will probably come a time when someone will be fast enough where it will be record-breaking or Olympic-breaking time. Then we're going to see, I think people are really going to start looking to see whether there's an advantage or not. As of right now, I think, unfortunately, it's not a novelty. It maybe it's not the right word, but, you know, he is bringing the
awareness.
Reporters and such, yeah, into it. So I think it's a good thing. He's an athlete. I think that's what it comes down to, because none of the other runners seem to mind. Everybody sees his dedication and what he's trying to do, and the fact that he's holding his own against these guys, I think, is an testament to him. And the fact that the other runners don't have a problem with it, I guess there shouldn't be a problem with it.
I mean, that's the time he's got for the 400 meters. It's actually pretty good. It's he's going to hold his own amongst an international field. But you know, when you take into consideration that the world record for the 400 is something like 43.4 or something like that, and to actually hold your own and actually win at international level, you have to be consistently going, you know, sub 45. You know, he's always going to be there and thereabouts, but he's never going to be winning the event.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. A hell of a conversation. I know we're going to go somewhere else with this, and we're going to keep on talking about this because it's true. I shouldn't say it's true, but I do agree with the Big Dog in that, hey, you know, right now they're going to be holding their own, but as they get better, will this alter the game? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm glad we are having the conversation, and maybe I'll ask a pointed question of Ian next time around. I don't want to do it right now, but maybe we can have that conversation about it and see.
A way around it would be to change the sport entirely by creating special trainers that ordinary sprinters run in that actually have the same blades on. That you know, once he's breaking world records and stuff like that, doing something like that would even the playing field.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Appreciate that one. Cats Potato, you're in the round table. Let me ask you, not the round table, but just you're in with us this morning. What's up, man? Do you have any news? Are you going to be going on right after us in about 40 minutes?
Yeah, I already set it up on your channel because I'm going to do something special on my channel tonight. I actually set it up on your channel. So it's going to be on right after Sports Talk with the Guys right here.
Okay, then what we're going to have to do, Sonny, is we're going to have to end about a minute or two early to make sure that happens.
Sure. Cool.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do that. All right, so then actually Sports Talk with the Guys will be on for 4 hours. I miss having NBB Sports, Sonny, let me tell you.
No, Al, sometimes, you know, you got to look at the justifications of having it. So that's the big thing.
We were up to five channels, and they're like, okay, now we got to cut back a little bit. And I think we're down to three channels right now. We're making it work.
Roger, think. Overall, the NBB main channel and one other channel on this network.
This one.
64,000 downloads, is it, collectively, for both channels?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on, Ian. Let me go back to a moment. Yes. NDB Media is a loose confederation of four full-time channels right now, and that's not going to change anytime soon. We have the programming, but let me check, Ian, what our numbers on this channel were for the month, and I can tell you exactly what happened. Huge, huge numbers. Yeah, Ian, 3,000 on this channel in July. And
wow.
3,000 on this channel, which is way above what it normally does. Sports Talk with the Guys averages anywhere between 1,500 to 2,000. And we're already, a few days into it, we're already at 523 for the sports channel. So very, very happy, very, very relieved. What was I going to say? The flagship channel scored 32,000 for the month of July. So that is 35,000 NDB Media and NDB Media 2, plus another 3,000 on NDB Media 3. So that was, 38,000, I guess?
Mm-hmm. And Sci-Fi Pulse has done 33,000, over 33,000, probably edging towards 34,000.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have garnered 71,000 listeners in the month of July. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And we're not bragging, ladies and gentlemen. We're thankful because we thought our numbers were going to be there, but gosh darn it, Ian, we never thought it would be like this, huh?
No. And Newsflash, Venus Williams has just taken gold in the tennis.
Oh, there it is. Venus Williams took out Maria Sharapova, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one hottie took out another hottie. I'll leave that for you guys to decide. So, wow. And if Cash Potato joins his confederation, my God, we'll have 150,000 downloads, won't we, Cash Potato?
I think we did 10,000 listens last month, so I'm pretty happy with it. I think we 10,200 or something like that was our number. I'm not sure. I know I was looking, but I know we went over 10,000, so that was really good. And just to let you know, in June we had a hell of a June as well because we had over just for one of the football games we had. The number, and I don't know if it's changed since I looked at it a couple of days ago, 6,999 listens for one football game. So I was really excited about that. So we definitely did something for that month.
So we have three monster networks right here, right now, ladies and gentlemen. People are listening. And, of course, even Matt in the chat room is like, that's right. I know they're listening, you bunch of punks. I know. Because, you know, the big dog knows that I'm like, damn it, even Matt's out bowling. Remember that, big dog, about a year ago?
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell? Matt's getting more listeners than us. We got to change what we're doing here. So it's a friendly competition. I've never, ever set it up until right now. but I'm very happy. If Matt gets 100 downloads, that means we're getting 100 downloads. And I'm very, very happy. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. It's really, really exciting. So we're looking forward to seeing what this is going to do. So, Ian, please keep us up to date. Big Dog, I know we have a lot more. Oh, it's Tim. Yeah, Tim says, nice to see the numbers are up. I got to tell you, Tim, the Yankees show at beginning of week is up to 6 listeners now. Ladies and gentlemen, sports, S2S Baseball has actually pulled the plug on the program for the time being. And they were pulling down a healthy 100 to 150 downloads on NDB Sports. The reason why I canceled NDB Sports was because $40 is a lot of holla, and it hurts. And I had to make some decisions. We were up to 4 premium channels, and I had to cut 2. And, hey, it's working. We're very, very happy. So
fill up those other times when nothing's on.
Yeah, that's right. And we're doing very, very well. And we're actually capturing a Spanish audience, which is much to my shock. So it's really, really good. So looking forward to that. Well, Big Dog, Ian.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the Ian picks here. I mean, I've got the interactive TV service up because they had some trampolining on and it was kind of boring. And I've got a choice here. I'm going to let you guys choose, given that I'm giving you coverage. I've got a choice Japan, hockey, Japan versus Belgium, basketball, which is Lithuania versus USA. Singing. Basketball, okay. Yeah, I'm going to basketball live right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the United States beat up on some godforsaken team earlier in the week, like 156 to like 70, or 156 to 86, I don't know what it was. I was telling my wife about that, and I think Couch Potato is going to agree with me on this one. It's one thing to beat up on a team, and it's another thing to be an outright asshole. You know?
Well.
Yeah, go ahead.
For this particular game, it's preliminary round in Group A, that the United States are actually beating Lithuania by 55 to 51.
Wow, 55 to 51, wow. So they're actually holding their own. I don't know who they beat up, whether it was Niger or some other team.
It was Nigeria. It was Nigeria.
Was right,
score,
Nigeria.
Yeah. The score was 156 to 73, and they broke the record for most points, most three-pointers with 26, most field goals with 79, most field goal percentage with 71%. That was the killer, the fact that they shot 71%. Let's see, what else did they break?
And for those of you mathematically challenged, that means for every 10 baskets, they hit 7 of them. Ow!
which is unheard of now. Usually, if you're shooting 45%, you're considered a very good shooter. So
yeah.
The fact that they shot 71% as a team, Carmelo Anthony went crazy, and, of course, made me hate him even more because all he kept doing was shooting three-pointers. I mean, these guys had 49 points in the first quarter. They had about a 23-point lead in the first quarter, expanded it to about 35-40 by halftime, and they just kept putting on the gas. I don't know if I agree with them being an asshole. I mean, they were scoring. They did not have to jack up all those three. They could have been laying up the ball. And the beating wouldn't have been as bad, but an 83-point win was the margin of victory unheard of. I mean, the margin of victory was larger than the amount of points that a team scored.
That's the media's fault.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
And I'm sorry, Big Dog, but look, no. We none of us here will ever be at that level, ladies and gentlemen, but look, we know that these teams that are playing, and they said this from the very first Dream Team, they said, wow, yeah, we're getting blown out, but we're playing against the best in the world. I mean, this is like our championship. We get to play against these guys. But the scene is, they kept hitting the three-pointers. They kept on doing that. Guys, I mean, you don't do that. I mean, that's just unsportsmanlike. When you're kicking the other team's butt,
It's the media's fault. Roger. I don't know if you were.
Oh, my God. He called me Roger, not scorekeeper.
Oh, sorry, scorekeeper. Yeah.
No. I mean, obviously, you want to say something. Yeah.
I said it the first point in jest, but at the same time, it is. Every single sports channel in the bigwigs, whether it's ESPN, Fox, or whatever, and all the reports, how does this team compare to the original Dream Team? Well, now they got to go out and try to prove it. And then how do they do it? They go up and they do these astronomical things in order to, right up there, sweetie, these astronomical things to try to be compared to the original Dream Team. So they have to blow out Cambodia said, whoever the hell it is, in order to make themselves feel good about being the Olympics, because right now no one even gives these guys any, you can't even prop them up against the original Dream Team. So now they're out to prove something. So instead of, you know, being sportsmanlike or being whatever, there's no room for that because now their egos are hurt because, you know, they're not as good as the Dream Team. So we got to do something to try to prove it. And that's all that falls down at least up on the media side. At least that's my humble opinion about the thing.
Yeah. Tim is a little concerned.
I actually think if you're winning, you shouldn't hold back. You should actually destroy the opposition. It's what I would have done. You know? Why should I hold back?
Okay, and look, as an athlete, I've been able. Okay, as someone who has played sports, look, if you're against your mortal enemies and you're, oh hell, I mean, if you're up by 20 runs, screw it. You keep going, and you pour it on. But when you're against the hapless teams, dude, it just sucks. It just sucks, Ian. Nigeria has never been a mortal enemy to the United States, albeit I could probably understand why some people would be offended by Nigeria because I think they have a lot of oil. So, yeah, I guess we got to put it to them. But other than that, my God, Ian, you kill your enemy. You don't kill the hapless kids that are just happy to show up, man.
The strong survive, the weak perish. That's the all and end all.
Yeah.
That's like having professionals show up at a pickup basketball games to play the high school guys.
Yeah, and are going to play for their lunch, right? Ladies and gentlemen, Tim McLeod has something very honest, because first he calls me Roger, then he calls me scorekeeper, and then he said, here it is, sweetie, and he went on to tell me what was going on. I just want to know, ladies and gentlemen, a vote in the chat room, what should my response to Couch Potato be? Honey, lovey, think of something. What should my name for the Couch Potato be? I can imagine Ian's already come up with about three or four. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, in the chat room, what is my pet name? And I use that very carefully for the Couch Potato.
Schnookums.
Ian had the delicacy of writing it in the chat room. Oh my God.
Oh, you gotta love it.
Oh my God, I just got an email from Ian. Says we're gonna have a Skype meeting tomorrow. Cool. Alright. So I'm looking forward to it. And ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it. But yeah, Tim says he does like schnookums, so we'll see. Ian,
that's my suggestion, schnookums.
Ian had the sea sucker. Big Dog, what should the name be?
For you or for him?
Well, the name that I should have for him.
Oh, if it was for you, it would have to be something to do with shorts or something, but I don't know. I like schnookums. That sounds pretty good.
So, are you trying to tell me that I have to call him Daisy?
No, I thought he would be calling you.
No, he already called me Sweetie.
Well, I know, that's why I like schnookums for him.
I didn't call you Sweetie.
Yeah, you did.
No, that was, I didn't type that, that was Tim McLeod.
No, no. You see, evidently, I guess either your daughter or your wife came and brought you something.
My daughter came in looking for a bow for her hair, and I
yeah. Look at Tim.
Being really stupid. Like, do you remember Dances with Wolves and the gave that, you know, that can't remember her name. She was in Battlestar. But they gave her that Native American name, Stands with Fist. You could make up a name, you know, similar to that, I guess.
That was good. Or maybe Tatanka, which was also from Dances with Wolves, or
Tatanka,
the name.
Tatanka, I thought that
with
was
Wolves.
From the WWE.
What?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. You could call him Polka Panthers.
Well, yeah. Couch Potato, you gotta check the chat room because they all said, "Oh no, hell no, we heard you say
it." Now that we say that, I remember because my daughter, like I said, my daughter was looking for bows and she was looking in the wrong spot. I said, "Over there, sweetie," and I did say it, but I apologize that you might have thought I was talking to you.
It's okay, Schnookums. Don't worry about it.
Oh. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having way too much. I mean, we blew like 7 minutes on that one.
I do have an Olympic question. Because into the Olympics, I'll be honest. I don't really get into it, but I was reading the other day. And I wanted to see what Big Dog and Scorekeeper thought about. Do you think strategy has any place in sports?
Go ahead, Big Dog, before I go to town on this one.
Yeah, of course. I think strategy has as far as, like, maybe the Nigeria-USA team basketball game, no, there's no strategy there. You're just going to go out and beat them. But I think in a closely competitive sport where the teams are even, I think strategy plays a lot into it. That's why the coaches are the best coaches in the country for that, whatever particular sport they're going for, as in volleyball or even gymnastics. I know everybody has their own coach, but they're still the team coach, and decisions have to be made that's best for the team. But, yeah, I think strategy plays a big, big part as you go into medal competition. In the prelims, when you know you're just the superior team and there's no possible way you're going to lose like Nigeria, USA, there's no strategy there. Pretty much, Krzyzewski said, he threw the ball out there and said, "Go get them, guys." And that's pretty much it. When you get in further, like say USA versus, say, Spain, or when they play Argentina, yeah, strategy plays a big, big part of that.
When I was actually involved in an international, which was kind of like a Paralympic in national CP sport. I was kind of a national sprint champion here for all that. When I did one of these in nationals, we used to run the 100 and the 200 and the 400 in heats. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you're running all these heats, you can't give your all in every single heat. So you've got to sort of like hold something back for the final. So, you know, there's another strategy that comes into that sort of thought process, and you know, how much do you need to give to actually get, you know, finish within the top three? Because the heat isn't always necessarily about winning; it's about sort of like getting yourself within the top three or two positions, so you're more or less guaranteed a place. And then you've got to think about, you know, your main draw. If you run a really shitty heat and you finish third, or you finish as the fastest loser, you're going to get a really shitty main draw in the final. So, you know, in that sport, a lot of strategy comes into it. You know, the rowing that we have, the you know, there's a lot of strategy in that, as in how many times you're gonna sort of like you know, row per minute sort of thing, in how many strokes across the water per minute. You know, there's you know, I think strategy really has to, you know, have its place in any sport. And talking of which, update on the basketball, USA 64, Lithuania 61. It's a very fast-paced game.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Scorekeeper?
Not to beat a dead horse, Sonny. Yes, it does. Look, in the Olympics, there are a lot of team sports, and even not the team sports, yeah, strategy does come into play. It's just like the professional sports that we see here in the United States or worldwide. Strategy does come into play, and this is what makes it a game, is being able, especially when you're familiar with the game, getting in there with the players, the managers, and thinking it through. It's part of the fun of watching a game. What are they going to do? And seeing their thinking as opposed to you. That's one of the reasons why we watch sports, I believe.
I'll tell you, Olympic badminton authorities booted 8 players out of the game of the tournament for attempting to throw matches, but the real culprits are the officials who organized the event. That's what that was the reason why I asked this question, because what happened is that they threw games because they wanted to make sure they made a medal round, and they wanted to play a different team in order to get to that medal round. And I have to admit, I think I was a little bit blown away by this, because I agree with you guys. I think strategy are there, this was in order to secure a more favorable draw in the knockout round. For the badminton, there's 2 Korean pairs, a Chinese and an Indonesian team will be stripped of their place in the quarterfinals unless an appeal against the punishment is granted. All 4 teams were determined to have tried to lose their final match in the women's doubles group stage in order to secure that favorable draw in the knockout round. I have to admit, and I'm going to sit here and say this because I'm a king. I love competition. I love seeing everybody. Hey, it's part of the game. You guys all admitted it. It's part of the game. And it's not just one match. You got to look at everything in a whole to put yourself in a better position to get set into, going for the gold. And I actually have to sit here and say I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I think, and I don't know if this thing was held up. This actually happened on Monday after I did the morning show, and I read this and I was like, are you kidding me? And that's why I wanted to see what your opinions were. Big Dog, do you have any report on what the result of the challenge was?
Actually, the challenge by the Chinese team, both teams on the Chinese side didn't appeal. The appeals were denied on both those teams. In the Indonesian team withdrew their appeal and just accepted the punishment, as did the 4th team. So all 4 teams are out. Just like Tim says in the chat room, the format allowed for this to happen. It's a loophole that they're going to have to fix. But from my understanding, from what I was reading, is they were just so blatant about it. I mean, they were so blatant that the fans were booing. That's how bad it was. And I guess the judges came in and said, hey, you guys need to, I see what you're doing, but you guys need to put some sort of effort forward. You can't just, give up, in essence. And evidently they were warned, I believe it was 2 times each. And the 3rd time, the judge finally came in and said, that's it, you guys are disqualified. And evidently when they were disqualified, the fans that were there watching this cheered because – they were tired of seeing bad play, in essence. So those 4 teams are out, and I believe one of the Chinese teams were the world champions, and they were expected to win the gold medal. And I believe Indonesia or one of the other teams was expected to get at least a bronze. So the 2 medal contenders, 2 of those 4 were medal contenders, and they are now out.
Oh, Big Dog, no. No, Big Dog, say it ain't so, because that just wrong. It just wrong. But I got to tell you, Tim McLeod and I are probably the most disappointed people in the world, because our day in the sun is now past, because it just wrong and it unfair. And I – damn, I'm disappointed. Hell, Ian and I could have won that one. We could have done United States – Canada and United States, United Kingdom. Could you imagine that? But no, they had to throw the match. It just won. So let's just go on.
Well, you know, the whole thing, you know, this thing with badminton, it's also happened in the rowing event. You know, for I think it's probably tightened the rules a bit since. Well, they have this thing called the repochage, where the losers from each event, or those that finish on like third or whatever, the fastest losers, all go into another thing called the repochage. And sometimes rowers actually go into the repochage.
Yeah.
So they don't face off against that team too soon.
You know, guys, I mean, it really is true. It may be in the rules, but it was incredibly blatant. I mean, look, we all know in baseball they're going to try to get a different position. They may ease up a little bit so they can actually not have to face that team in the first round or whatever. I mean, it happens all the time, but the big dogs did have it. It was just so wrong because what they were doing was so freaking blatant. And, yeah, and the fans pay money. They don't want to see them throw a game as blatantly as that, huh, big dog?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because, like I said, as much as the accent is, it was just wrong. But it's okay. We're going to go ahead and continue. I'm not going to let that one go, guys. They're cheaters. They got caught.
Oh, man, come on. Are you serious? I mean, come on. It's strategy of the game, and who cares? If they do it blatantly or if they don't, what's the difference? They're still doing it. So, you know, let's get serious. I think that I think someone needs to relook at the whole situation to find out what it's all about. And,
sure.
It, you know, something has to change. It's not taking advantage of the way that the game's set up.
Hey, Sonny, did you go outside?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. You better be. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I just got an email invite from Brian Tarvin. Weigh In Sports is going to be on at 9 p.m. this Sunday, Eastern Time, on Weigh In Sports. So there's hyphens. It's, yeah. Okay. Oh, it's blogtalkradio.com/Tarvin. Oh, Tarvino. So that's his channel, Weigh In Sports. So you can check it out right there, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of good stuff. So, Tim wants to know if someone is drinking draft. Ian, are you drinking any draft beer out there? Hot beer as it is?
Nope. And I don't like my beer warm. It's funny actually, because a lot of British posing like their beer warm. I like it cold from the fridge.
Okay. Well, I know that James Swallow, coincidentally enough, an author in the United Kingdom. Richard Ratty and I were interviewing him on one early Sunday. Well, actually, it was October 31st. I think it was in 2009. It was Halloween. And we were shooting the shit, talking about beer. And we blew like 10 minutes on the beer. And he says, look, guys, it's cold over here. We want beer. So we kind of wanted just a little bit warm, even though we do like it cold when we're traveling abroad. So I wanted to ask him what he meant by traveling abroad. Yeah, I know. There you go, Sonny. You and I are on the same page. But, yeah, his name is really James Swallow. It was, ladies and gentlemen, to this day, I think it was one of the best interviews we ever had that no one ever heard. It was great.
Yeah, I've actually met James Swallow.
He's a great guy, dude.
Yeah, I've met him, you know, so I had a few beers with him.
Oh, coincidentally enough, he's really a cool guy. It was one of the best interviews we ever had. I mean, it was so cool that we even said the first 10 minutes in, I said, man, we've never had an interview like this. We're only 10 minutes in. He's a good guy. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 10 minutes left. We're going to talk about some more sports right now before we carry on with the Couch Potato, who's going to be on this channel at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern. It looks like it's going to be Matt Alvarez's birthday, if I get that right, on August 18th. So we're going to be wishing Matt a birthday, and we're really looking forward to that.
Happy 12th birthday.
I'm sorry?
Happy 12th birthday.
Oh, I really off on all of them.
Oh, basketball
birthday.
Basketball birthday. Tied up 59 all.
On August 18th.
Turkey cheese, right? Turkey cheese?
Hey! Where are you going to have the birthday party at?
Hey, do we get free tokens?
You bastard. You
know one of these days he's going to meet us and he's just going to punch us square in the mouth. And we'll deserve it.
Yeah. Ian, do you know what Chuck E. Cheese is?
No.
Okay. Oh. It's one of those like pizza joints where you can take your kids, and it's kind of changed a little bit, but it's cool because you buy a pizza deal, it costs like $40 or whatever, and they give you like 100 tokens, and all the games are 25 cents. It's really cool, and they have all these different games that kids can do. It's a really fun place to actually have a birthday. Even as an adult, man, going there and just watching your kids have a good time, Chuck E. Cheese is not bad. It's a little old. They're redoing it now, but it's a place for kids to celebrate their birthdays. And I haven't even looked at the chat room yet because I haven't said anything. Ooh, Matt's being pretty damn quiet.
Yeah, he's going to kick our ass on the... If we ever meet... The first thing he'll go is, hey, scorekeeper, hi-ya, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, he's probably going to have a little purple teddy bear in his hand. He's going to slug me with it, so that's okay. You guys are the ones that started. You are the one. But Matt,
I did. It was my fault. You guys always started first, so I thought I'd take it over for you.
Well, do you know, Ian... I know he probably hasn't heard all this much, but one of the best slams of my life was Tim McLeod called in and played the Barney song. Oh, my God. Remember that one, Big Dog? I'll never forget that one.
Oh, God, I hate that Barney.
Yeah, well, we generally do, too, Ian. But it was a kids' program. All right, here. Don't make me do a shoot promo on you guys. All right, at least Matt's taking it very well right now because we've been pretty good about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down about 7 minutes, and then we're going to finish about a minute and a half early so then we can move on over to the next program. Big Dog, anything else that you wanted to go over in a little bit?
Not in the time that we have. There's too much to go over. Just the trading deadline happened, of course, in Major League Baseball. There were tons of transactions. And I guess I'll cover them on Monday night.
Well, I think we'll be able to continue with the couch potato. I think we're going to be doing some football over there, too. But it looks like Matt Alvarez didn't know that it was Tim that actually did that. And now Matt Alvarez told us he really, 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 really hates that song. Gee, couch potato, what does that mean? It means that we're going to ride him forever on that one now, right?
Okay, guys, another basketball update for you. With minute and 6 seconds to go, the USA is leading 74-68.
Wow.
And that's the third quarter, minute and 6 seconds to the end of the third quarter.
Oh, my goodness, I hadn't checked. We have a call. Oh, my God, I know he was listening. I hadn't checked my switchboard. He doesn't have his number to come on in, but, oh, wait, you have an upcoming scheduled episode. Oh, yeah, thank you, Blog Talk Radio. They just let me know. The Break It Down show, Saturday morning no golf show in 6 minutes. What do you want to do? Remind me in 1 minute before showtime so we can cancel this one. Brian has been listening in live, and I didn't even know that, dude. How are you doing, man? I'm so sorry, but you heard I gave you some love, didn't you? Go ahead, Brian.
I heard that, man. I appreciate it. How are y'all doing?
Doing very well, Brian. I do apologize. I was away from my switchboard, and you're like, yeah, I know, dude. I've been online for 28 minutes. But you sent me an email, and I gave you that love, dude. I like what you say. I like the program. And anytime.
And if you
want
to know about
Hinn.
College, if you
I'm
want
sorry?
To know about college football, you need to listen to this guy's show. Cuervo and him need to get together because Cuervo is a college football fanatic. I'm just a guy that just kind of pokes my head in every once in a while. These guys, you want to talk about breaking it down. They break it down as far as college football is concerned. It's good stuff.
Wow. Yeah, some good stuff. I do like their program. And let me tell you guys, the chat room is really going right now with Tim and Matt. I'm sorry. Tim, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. Big Dog, I'm so happy you're here with us as well. We're going to be carrying on with the Couch Potato on this very same channel. The funny thing is, actually, when we end this program, everyone's going to be kicked out, and then you're going to have to call in again.
Yes.
I just want to remind everyone that's what we're going to do. The chat room doesn't matter. You stay open. Couch Potato, why don't you log in as co-host in the chat room only?
I will do so.
And then I'm going to stay in here myself, and I'm going to have you call in as the host. You log in as co-host in the chat room, but log in as host when I hang up, okay?
Got it. I'm doing that right now.
Hey, Brian, are you going to join us?
Yeah, I'll join y'all for a little while. I'm looking forward
to it. Okay. Cool. Ian, you going to stay with us?
Yeah, I'll try to this time. The last time I couldn't get in the chat room and I got kicked out and I couldn't find the channel again when I got back. So.
Okay. Well, it's possible that we went to another channel last time, Ian. I think that's what happened. But we'll see. Yep, he gave it to us right now. USA 78, Lithuania 72 at the end of the third quarter. Big Dog, you going to stay with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, cool. Well, then, all right, ladies and gentlemen. The little old lady says we got about 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So we're going to end
nice.
This one a little bit early. We're going to end it right now. And in about 2-3 minutes, we're just going to go ahead and do it. So Couch Potato, why don't you go ahead and hang up, call in. We're going to do it, too. And we're going to be live in about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. This is Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. It's been glorious. Tim, Couch Potato, Brian, Ian, Big Dog, of course, Matt in the chat room, Cuervo, we're doing it. I'm out of here, guys. See you guys in a few seconds.